We examine in this space how the Plato's tribesmen dismiss and then suppress our great ones, the ones we need for our freedom, so we can unite as one, like Proudhon, like Prince, like Nikola and Kropotkin. And with Prince's help, we see that without sufficient information, we can't think it through the choice we're here to make. So we examine what they have to tell us, our great ones, and consider here the arguments used against them and develop a common lexicon with which we can understand how such powerful beings as we could be held in captivity, our backs bent, for millennia. Paul answered that question by naming the pursuit of wisdom, what Prince calls knowledge and we call science, as our stumbling block, the argument used to push us ever back into our cages the minute we venture out of them, telling us, you are not capable of running our complex systems. Do what we say. Get back in your cage. And anyone who disobey or complain with the EMF weapon they stole from Nikola, they are easily eliminated. The pursuit of knowledge, the rationale used to justify their rule and to keep us divided. We know this now, the obsession of power to be the only actor with sufficient information to put two and two together. The people, they tell us, and most importantly themselves, cannot be trusted with too much information, too much knowledge. Quote from Karl Popper, for Critias and Plato's and Aristotle's cynical doctrine that religion is opium for the people, Toynbee quotes from Polybius' Historiae, the point in which the Roman constitution excels others most conspicuously is to be found in its handling of religion. The Romans have managed to forge the main bond of their social order out of superstition, etc. And he quotes from Strabo, a rabble cannot be induced to answer to the call of philosophic reason. In dealing with people of that sort, you cannot without superstition, etc. In view of this long series of Platonizing philosophers who teach that religion is opium for the people, I fail to see how the imposition of similar motives to Constantine can be described, as he was responding to, as anachronistic. And that's from Karl Popper's Open Society, Volume 2, Chapter A Note to Chapter 11. And what is the superstition power favors today to keep us feeling small, insufficient, and in their debt, as opposed to Paul's all knowledge and all goodness? If not science, the pursuit of knowledge infinite. We know this now. Their longing to appear to be all-knowing, all-powerful. The point for power, Karl Popper is helping me see, is to have us believe they possess the gift of prophecy, that they are all-knowing, all-wise, and have the right to decide who lives, who dies, who gets drought or freezing cold or rain. Knowledge stolen from Nikola Tesla, the point for power, and has always been to prove to themselves, which means no one contradicts them, that they are godlike in their wisdom and in their power, their rule of the earth. And so their longing requires them to prevent our association, for we together would easily dispel this myth, and power knows it. It knows full well we energetically provide for ourselves when left alone to associate freely, without coercion. Our association breaks their hold on us, exposes that they are unneeded, their worst fear, that we see this. Which means we manage our own intercommunications and transport systems, which is why they want them in private hands, which are in their camp. So stay strong, rail system folks in France. Power is pushing divide and conquer like some new fad they've just discovered. They are orchestrating it everywhere and up-amping their already made mischief. And we should not neglect to add that government-run don't mean less subject to hidden fascism activation, at least not here in the U.S. As long as they control the bosses, they control those subject to them, is how they reason, which is true in theory. But in practice, there is continuous erosion of it in our separation as we plan and choose the alternative.